presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the fine city of Wolverhampton, quite literally the home of loads of people. The name Wolverhampton is derived from Wulfrun, the Anglo-Saxon noblewoman who was granted a land charter in 985 AD by King Ethelred the Unready. Wulfrun was summoned to the king's palace for the charter ceremony to be greeted by Ethelred the Unready, who answered the door dripping wet in a bath towel. He then tried to sell her some of his own brand torch batteries. Public transport came to the town in 1847 with the opening of the Wolverhampton Corporation Omnibus Service. This served the city centre and then expanded to the suburbs with stops positioned at every mile. Making the journey by bus today, very few of these original cast-iron Victorian bus stops can still be seen, as most of them have been destroyed by vandals, really. Where do these people get off? In Victorian times, Wolverhampton's engravers turned their hands to producing tools to make books and signs for the blind. They have a small museum which includes the least successful sign ever made in Braille. It reads, "Danger, do not touch." Born here in 1930, John Keith Taylor, OBE, was the football referee famous for officiating in the 1974 World Cup final, during which he awarded two penalties in the first half an hour. Sadly, his career ended soon after when he suffered a blow to the head, which caused his eyesight to come back. In 2003, the illusionist David Blaine previewed his glass container stunt suspended high above the Wulfrun shopping centre for 42 days. When he came down, having done nothing in a box for 7 weeks in a row, he was signed as a striker for Aston Villa. The record producer, Pete Waterman, is from Wolverhampton. He left school at 15, never having learnt to read or write. He went on to produce records for Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan, which he described as making pop music more relevant. So he left school never having learnt to hear, either. In the 1950s, the future record producer Phil Spector lodged here when he was an exchange student at Wolverhampton College of Art. Where he got his musical influences remains a mystery, according to his landlady, Mrs. Doodlang Doodlang. In the world of record production, Spector is widely regarded as a genius. That word is bandied about far too much these days. But not tonight. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Richard Osman. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Susan Carman. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever-delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a round called the Wilhelm Scream. And it's based on this, the most famous scream in cinema history. It's named after the character of Private Wilhelm, who gets shot by an arrow in a 1953 Western called The Charge at Feather Rock and has been featured in over 225 films and TV episodes. The second most famous scream in cinema history is called the Revel Scream. It's named after anyone who's just paid £9.50 for a bag of Revels at a cinema. So, teams, in this round, your job is to present me with statements which are bound to be met by the Wilhelm Scream. If I agree, I shall play it in. You can start, please, Richard.
And next, on Channel 4, it's the Great British Bake Off.
Tim.
Qatar was a great choice for the World Cup.
Barry.
Donald Trump is president of the USA.
Susan.
Now on Women's Hour, poetry about the menopause.
Oh, this is tough. So, Jack, I've been looking through your internet history.
Jack, that shooting stick you're sitting on is upside down.
I'm under the bed.
So, you want to change your pounds into euros? Let me show you how much that will be.
Have you ever seen one of these before?
I dropped some chocolate on my cream trousers and it's only 9 a.m. That really happened to me. It was very distressing.
On behalf of Fulham Waitrose, I regret to inform you we have run out of organic hummus. Barry, it's your round.
Okay. Time now for a musical round as I ask the teams to play one song to the tune of another. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. And listeners may be interested to learn that Colin has a Midlands musical connection. In 1969, he collaborated with Roy Wood on The Move. Colin says it was just luck he happened to be working on the switchboard at Pickford's that day. So we'll start with you, Tim. And I'd like you to sing the words of Barbie Girl by Aqua to the tune of the chorus of the Hebrew Slaves.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere, imagination. Life is your creation. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. I'm a blonde bimbo girl in a fantasy world. Dress me up, make it tight, I'm your dolly. You're my doll, rock and roll, feel the glamour in pink. Kiss me here, touch me there, hanky, hanky.
That has every chance of being a Christmas Day number one, Tim. If not that, certainly a Boxing Day number two. Susan, I would like you to sing the words of Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger to the tune of the theme from Sesame Street. Thank you, Susan. Okay, your turn, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of If You're Happy and You Know It to the tune of the Funeral March.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. If you're happy, clap your hands.
Sounded like you're putting the bins out. Richard, you now. I'd like you to sing the words of Milkshake by Khalees to the tune of English Country Garden.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I'd have to charge. I know you want it, that thing that makes me what the guys go crazy for. They lose their minds the way I whine. I think it's time, la la la, warm it up.
Time now for a round called Word for Word. In this game, each team attempts to exchange unrelated words while the opposing team tries to spot a connection. Tim and Susan, you can start exchanging your words, while Barry and Richard, you should challenge to take over play if you think you've spotted a connection. Off you go, please, Tim and Susan.
Maggot.
Bandit.
Porcelain.
Spam.
Jumper.
Richard, you've spotted a connection.
Yeah, I got a lovely spam jumper once for Christmas from an aunt who admittedly was getting on a bit.
Did you wear it, the spam jumper?
The spam jumper, I did, but it attracted dogs.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm a stand-up. I've never heard of a spam jumper, but apparently you've owned one, so it must be true. I admit I wasn't really listening. So over to Richard and Barry.
Aardvark.
Cummerbund.
But Susan.
That's Benedict Cumberbatch's original name.
So, well, Jack, that is true. I admire that interruption.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It must have
been in my head when
you
said it. Yeah.
So over to you, Susan and Tim.
Brexit.
Potato.
Pyramid.
Cardio.
What? Richard.
That's where I do a lot of my cardio in Egypt.
In Egypt.
How'd you get insurance to do cardio in Egypt these days?
Exactly.
But Barry, you're on his team,
Barry.
I know. I'm being disloyal.
I go one up from Admiral Insurance, which is Faro Insurance.
Oh, dear.
How Xander Armstrong works with you full-time, I will never know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's heavy medication, as you well know.
Yes.
All right, Barry, back to Barry and Richard.
Diaphanous.
Lepidopterist.
Tim.
Those are two words I don't know the meaning of.
Oh, come on.
They are therefore connected, you're right, Tim. So over to Tim and Susan.
Butterfly.
Rubber.
Quadruple.
Coat.
Richard.
Well, just when it's very cold.
That's a good point, you'd wear a quadruple coat.
Yeah.
Back to Barry and Richard.
Fallible.
Bumblebee.
Oh, and the gong has gone, which means that I have remembered how to end that game. Okay, the next round takes as its inspiration the world of games. Who here hasn't looked at a Monopoly box lid, read 8 years plus, and thought, that's way too bloody long? The idea is that one team will play a favourite game of theirs, after which the opposing team should attempt to guess the name of the game that they're playing. So, Barry and Richard, you can start. The title of your game will now be advertised to the audience via the laser display board. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Astronauts and crosses. Astronauts and crosses.
So, off you go, please, Barry and Richard.
I will boldly go first. X, centre square.
I'm going to take a giant leap here. O, top left.
Careful, Barry. Barry, there's no point screaming. No one can hear you.
Would it have anything to do with space and astronauts and crosses?
Right, it's your turn to play a game now, Tim and Susan, and the title of your game is now being exhibited on the laser display board. While here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Pin the blame on the donkey. Pin the blame on the donkey.
OK, so off you go, Tim and Susan.
Right, Tim, I'll just pop this blindfold on for you.
OK.
Yep. You sure you can't see anything?
Who said that?
Great.
OK, off you go then.
Was that you?
No, it was not.
Really? Well, who else was it then?
It was him.
Oh, OK, fine.
A donkey is involved. Yeah. You know what? Don't come on. Don't applaud that. We all knew a donkey is involved, and it's. I'm going to say, pin the blame on the donkey. Oh.
Well, okay. Final game title now being displayed for you, Barry and Richard, and here is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
A game of Dennis. A game of Dennis.
I'll start, I think. Waterman.
Potter.
Love 15.
Okay. Wise.
Hopper.
Wheatley.
15 all.
Quaid.
Les.
Oh, a backhand. Bergkamp.
Damn.
30, 15.
Weaver.
Ah!
40, 15.
Compton.
Hugh.
The Menace.
No!
Game, set, and match.
Everyone there appeared to have the same first name, which would be Dennis. So would it be Dennis Tennis? Dennis Lawn?
Game of Dennis?
Yes! Well, I'm going to test the teams on their knowledge of movies next in a game called Complete Trailers. A family trip to the cinema is an enjoyable, if expensive, treat. My advice is to bring your own food, although it's best to sit away from the smoke alarms when lighting your charcoal. In this round, teams, I shall read out a series of interrupted lines from classic movie trailers, and your job is to finish them off, OK? So the first one's for you, Susan, and it's from the film The Thing with Two Heads. The film The Thing with Two Heads. They transplanted a white bigot's head onto...
Donald Trump.
It was actually onto a soul brother's body, was it? Tim, this is for you, from The Wizard of Oz. Many, many miles east of nowhere lies...
Walsall.
It's the amazing land of Oz. One for you, Richard, from Vertigo. A beautiful girl haunted by the desperate, unexplainable urge to...
Marry Rupert Murdoch?
Destroy herself. Barry, this is from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Incredible, invisible...
Jeremy Corbyn.
Insatiable is what it was. Susan, this is from Alien 3. The bitch is...
Probably just a woman with an opinion. Get over it.
The bitch is back. Tim, this is from Mary Poppins. starring the toast of Broadway's musical stage, the incomparable Julie Andrews, and America's fabulous funny man Dick Van Dyke, as you've never...
heard English before.
As you've never seen him before.
Oh.
And finally, Richard, from Jaws, Don't Go in the...
Ladies again, Barry.
the graffiti's neater in there. Got the hands free. No.
Don't go in the water, is what it was. Okay, well, look, here is some for any of you to have a go at, all right? This is from Shaft. Shaft's his name, Shaft's his...
father's name.
Shaft's his game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trailer from American Gigolo. He's the highest paid lover in Beverly Hills. He leaves women feeling more alive than they've ever felt before, except...
Except he's got to be home by 7 so Mrs. Cryer can use the car.
No, it was except one. The Hunt for Red October. Invisible, silent...
Sean Connery lets one go.
No, it's The Invisible Silence Stolen.
Oh.
This is from When Harry Met Sally, 1989 film. Can two friends sleep together and still...
present pointless.
You heard it here first.
Still love each other in the morning.
That's equally nice.
And finally, from Lost in Translation... sometimes you have to go halfway around the world to come...
but it's worth it.
To come full circle. Well, this next game is called Silent Piano and has something for anyone with an interest in music. For students of music, it features Colin Sell at the piano. And for lovers of music, the piano is silent. In this round, Colin will play a well-known piece on his electronic keyboard, but with the power switched off. Only Colin knows what he's playing, so pretty much business as usual. The team's job is to identify the piece he's playing before the power returns, OK? So, off you go, please, Colin. Susan.
Is it C'est la vie by Bewitched?
It is not C'est la vie by Bewitched. Can you carry on a bit more, Colin? Richard.
Judging by the happy smile on his face, I'm going to say Firestarter by The Prodigy.
Oh, yeah.
No, you mustn't be confused by the happy smile on his face. That usually means he's got wind. Not that. And again, please, Colin, some more. Barry.
That's an old musical song. You can't put Willy where Willy won't go, I think. I remember it. Colin remembers it.
It's not that. Carry on, please, Colin.
Is it the theme to Heartbeat?
Not that either. OK, carry on, please, Colin. We might have to reveal this in a second. Right? Susan.
Is it someone trying to contact us from the other side?
Is it the ghost of Liberace?
It's not that either. So carry on then, please, Colin, and maybe the music will play in now.
Oh, isn't it rich?
Isn't it rich?
Yes.
See you will, send see in the you clowns. Won't, see yeah, you'll do what I don't.
Send in the clowns.
See it's true, see to me, see love you.
I suppose we have to take Colin's word for it that that's what he Thank you, Colin Sell. And,
I've got lots more here, Jack.
Yeah, I think we'll move on. Thanks anyway, Colin. of its own. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round which looks at the musical preferences of unclean or messy people. Samantha is fanatical about cleanliness and tells us she's forever cleaning at her local YMCA. She says she usually starts with a lengthy rub down in the bathroom with Mr. Muscle before polishing off a tall boy in the bedroom after a, after a few squirts from Mr. Sheen. So, teams, I'd like you, please, to suggest song titles suitable for an audience of unkempt, dirty or messy people. So, Richard, maybe you could start.
Fabrizi Lover.
Barry.
Handles Messier.
Tim.
I Should Be So Mucky.
Susan.
Don't Push Me Because I'm Close to the Pledge.
Nothing Compares to Poo. By the Bleach Boys.
Sister Sludge.
Who Didn't Let the Dogs Out?
You've Lost That Oven Cleaner.
Soiling. I Am Soiling.
Please Degrease Me.
Anything by Bruce Springsteen.
Fields of Mould.
House of the Rising Scum.
She's a Cheesy Lover.
Staying Alive.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the impatient road haulier of time launches the yellow lemonade bottle of desperation towards the hard shoulder of despair, and the pancaked badger of indignity delights the school minibus of disdain, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha and myself, and our audience here in Wolverhampton, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Cryer, Susan Cowman, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Richard Osman, who have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. Programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.